Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Pop Life, where we explore just everything to do with the wonderful world of pop culture. Thank you all for tuning in. We want to hear from you. We got a lot of interesting topics tonight, so you guys better bring it. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. Check us out on Facebook. TKRS presents Pop Life on Facebook. We just reached 100 likes. Now it's on to 150 and 200 and beyond, so head on over there, like us on the Facebook, and get involved in the show chat right there. We also we threw up something today on stand-up comedy. What are your favorites? What are your least favorites? We're going to be getting to that topic a little later on, so get on the Facebook. Let us know what you like and dislike in the world of stand-up comedy. So, as I said, we got a lot to talk about. Todd, how are you doing this fine evening? You ready to dissect the world of pop culture?
I can't wait, as usual. You know, I don't have to be on the air to dissect the world of pop culture, but I really bring it when we start the show, and I'm looking forward to it. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Exciting, 100 likes. We finally reached that milestone. Kind of neat, huh?
Yeah, it took a while. You know, I was counting as we got closer. You know, we hit the 80, we hit the 90, and then I was just waiting. I really resisted pandering with the number to my friends. And we hit it anyway, so, you know, go for it and let's hit 1,000 next.
So we're going to start off with a little bit of news that's occurred in the world of pop culture since we last spoke. Unfortunately, we had the passing of, you know, I don't know if we can call this actress a legend, but a legendary character, Ann B. Davis, who played Alice on the Brady Bunch, passing away. Sad news, a character that anybody, you know, you say Alice from the Brady Bunch, an iconic role. I think she's someone that everyone wished they had a maid like Alice. So definitely a very likable character, an iconic character, and you know, rest in peace, Ann B. Davis. But were you a Brady Bunch fan growing up?
Who wasn't a Brady Bunch fan growing up? I mean, the show was maybe a little before our time, but on reruns constantly. And you know, I loved the Brady Bunch. It was that perfect. Perfect is the right word, because it was perfectly cheesy. The family was perfect. She was the perfect maid. And, yeah, I enjoyed the show. It was – I don't know if it holds up now. You know, they had the Brady Bunch movies, which mocked the Brady Bunch TV show. In fact, one thing I read about yesterday was that, unfortunately – of course, it's unfortunate that Ann B. Davis has passed – the actress who played Alice in the movies has been stopped numerous times with people asking her, wait, you're not dead? So, you know, you get confused with different actresses playing the role. No, it's Ann B. Davis from the TV show who has passed away, and, you know, they're going to miss her. We're going to miss her.
And some other news on the Star Wars front this week, new cast members coming on board.
Yeah, we have two new female additions to the cast, which is a pretty big deal in the Star Wars universe. Anyone who's a fan of the movies knows that it's lacking in female characters. Lupita Nyong'o, who just won an Academy Award for 12 Years a Slave, and everyone's been raving about her acting, her fashion sense, you know, her grace, everything about her. she has been added to the cast after a month or so of rumors. And another addition, is it Gwendolyn?
Gwendolyn Christie.
Gwendolyn from, Christie.
From Game of Thrones. And I don't watch Game of Thrones. I've been meaning to kind of go and I'm sure there are people out there listening. They're like, "For shame, you call yourself pop culture guys and you don't watch Game of Thrones." But I don't. I've been meaning to go back and start with season one and catch up. So I don't really know her. But exciting. You know, she's quite a specimen from what I hear. No shortage now of strong female actresses and strong female characters, you would think.
When you say quite a specimen, I don't know if that sounds a little insulting or demeaning. She's 6'3". So she is a physical specimen, and, you know, she could do any number of things in that Star Wars universe. Who knows? So, you know, that's pretty exciting. Added to the cast of returning cast members, new cast members. Another news, and we don't talk about this a lot on the show, but in the world of gaming, the Wii U is a console that, you know, we have in my household and has been basically killing Nintendo. New game came out last week. We got it the day it came out. My sons and I are playing Mario Kart 8. And by the way, this is one of the few console games where I can actually be competitive with them. You know, I don't have to. They give me charity in a lot of the games and let me try to win. This is one where I can compete. Well, the deal is that the Wii U has been lagging behind PS4 and the Xbox One, and third game publishers stop making games. My kids are very unhappy that they can't get their sports games. This game is terrific. It's been reviewed great. I've played it, and it's a lot of fun. And the question now is, will it save the Wii U to any degree, or is it really just too late? You know, it's set records for sales for this console. Have you done any video gaming lately, Ken?
No. I mean, you know, it's funny. I guess the way video games kind of changed, you know, I'll play the Wii every now and again, but the real basic Wii stuff, I like to bowl on the Wii.
Oh, sure.
I'm just a big kind of, you know, with video games, the way they evolved over the years, there's a lot of thinking. And I try not to think too much in general. But especially when I'm doing stuff that's supposed to be a recreational activity. And I miss the days of it. Like, I miss Space Invaders. I mean, you know, it's simple. They just, you know, bam, 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 and they go across the screen and you pew, pew, and they, you know, that's
the way it went, right?
It's exactly how it went. And it was a simpler time, and that was just, I don't know, it might sound silly, but I actually found an app with a game that was kind of close to Space Invaders, and I've been playing that.
Okay.
So that's been fun. But other than that, yeah, I don't know. Like once they got into like finding codes and you know, you need to know this and try this and hit A and hold down A, but and then press B really quickly, and then this crap will happen. Like it's not my cup of tea. So I haven't played a lot of those newer games. I'm sounding really old right now.
No, you know, I'm there with you, especially with the codes and the hidden stuff. It's funny you mention that. You know, I found an app which is Activision's greatest hits, and I can play Kaboom and Megamania and some of my favorite Pitfall, some of these great things. I had the Atari 2600.
Yes.
I had a Commodore 64, which was basically didn't do much except, you know, play games on it. I had this amazing unknown console called a Vectrex, but I did not have another video game console for that for a very long time. I do remember that you had the Nintendo Entertainment System.
I did.
And I tried playing Super Mario Brothers at your house. That was maybe the first game where there was stuff hiding all over the place that wasn't on the screen, and it frustrated me to death because you could jump here and in the sky a coin box would appear or whatever. So that was the beginning of the end for me until my kids became obsessed with Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, I used to enjoy Super Mario Bros., but you're right. I mean, I used to play games where I would just, like, I'd put on Super Mario Bros., and I just keep jumping. I just would jump the game away until, like, my head would bang into something that would, like, be worth something. So
that's one way to do it.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny, to each his own. I mean, I know it's a, I don't know, it's a big industry, obviously, but it's just, it's not my cup of tea.
No, you know, app sales are surpassing everything else at this point. I mean, consoles may be dying out overall. You know, right now, like I said, it's Sony and it's Microsoft and Nintendo is falling behind, but apps, whether it's on your phone, your iPad, your Android, whatever, that's really where the money is. And it's funny because to me, it seems like so much out there is free, but there's a lot of money being spent on, you know, these sometimes simple, sometimes very involved things that you can play on the go, pull out of your pocket when you're waiting online and, you know, have a go at a video game.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, actually, of Fruit Ninja. Fruit Ninja's just, you know, it's for a minute, I just sliced flying fruit and try not to hit a bomb. That's good.
That's a good one. I enjoy Fruit Ninja. You know, there are a couple of other ones. I was an Angry Birds guy, especially when they came out with Star Wars Angry Birds, you know, combining two of my favorite things, universes clashing. That was great. Yeah, and the simple stuff, you know, stuff where you launch something, you swipe on the screen. Actually, I love this game called Jetpack Joyride, which is all you need to do is put one finger on the screen anywhere and lift it off. And either your guy with the jetpack goes up when you touch, or he goes down when you let go. There's a lot more going on the screen, but it's a one-finger game, and it's a hell of a lot of fun, but you don't need to move. You can literally be the laziest person in the world and still have success at that game.
It's Stephen Hawking's favorite game.
Oh, man. Oh, blow into the tube? Don't blow into the tube. That's horrible.
That was bad. Sorry, Steve. Anyway, and the other thing, actually, as we're hitting like some of the news items that are occurring in pop culture, interesting, you know, and we don't hit this much, but there's just so many aspects of pop culture, and we felt we had to hit this because we think it's going to bleed over as the NHL and the NBA playoffs begin, and you know the finals are beginning at the same time, and it's a good time of year to be a sports fan with both those sports hitting their finals at the same time. Lots of big markets. I mean, you got Miami, New York, and Los Angeles involved in these finals. So you got three major markets. You know, I'm not going to call San Antonio a large market, but it's Texas.
Right.
You got a you know, borderline. I people like debate this. I mean, I think you got to say like San Antonio Spurs, like this era is kind of, is a dynasty.
That's the best closest you come.
And people like want to debate if it's. I mean, four championships. They've been relevant for what, 16, 17 years?
Right.
I mean, that's damn near close to a dynasty. Rematch of last year's finals, so there's lots of stories surrounding that. LeBron James, the best player on the planet. Revenge factor, if you're a basketball fan, you know that for all intents and purposes, San Antonio let last year's finals get away from them. They really honestly should have clinched it in game six. They let it get away. Miami wins the championship. It was San Antonio's mantra all year. They wanted to get back there. They wanted to get back, you know, revenge on Miami. Lots of storylines surrounding that series. And then in the NHL, you got the Rangers, no cup in 20 years, versus the Kings. I mean, could you get two bigger markets? So you have a lot of stuff in the sports realm that look like they're going to bleed over into the pop culture world.
Yeah, you know, part of that bleeding is being in the probably three biggest celebrity markets in the country. Obviously, you can't compete with New York and L.A. as far as the size of the market. But then we're not talking about Chicago, Philadelphia. You know, you can move around the country and find big markets. But we're talking about Miami, and that's probably number three on the list of where the celebs hang out. So you can turn on any one of these games and find people in the front row who you recognize. And that's a big crossover between sports and what we do here. Not to say that sports is not pop culture in general, but now we have this crossover. You know, Spike Lee, who is the world's biggest Knicks fan, has been seen at a lot of Rangers games. A lot of L.A. people at the Kings games, David Beckham and Vince Vaughn, you know, kind of typifying L.A., you've got musicians all over the place at the Heat games. You know, a lot of people like Rihanna and the Bieber and Will Smith hanging out in Miami. So you have this crossover. And, you know, for me, the Rangers, as you said, not having been in the finals in 20 years brings back memories of that summer 20 years ago when the Knicks and Rangers were in the finals at the same time. And, you know, this year they're literally starting a day apart and they overlap completely. Every other day is a game. But it's bringing back great memories for me, and I'm hoping to make great memories again 20 years later with the Rangers. Obviously, I'm a fan, but they should be exciting series. And if you're a sports fan, it's great to have that, hey, big game every day for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm not a hockey fan. I've always said, you know, if I watch hockey, I'm a Rangers fan, but I don't really watch a lot of hockey. As a kid, I went to a Rangers practice, and Pierre LaRouche threw me a puck. And then I was like, I'm a Rangers fan because I have a Rangers puck from Pierre LaRouche. And I gotta find him. I gotta find him and have him autograph my puck. Where is Pierre LaRouche, if you're listening? But I'm kind of excited. It's funny because when I look back at '94, you know, and it's interesting, you know, being, 20 years. I remember being in my college dorm, watching the Stanley Cup Finals, and to put it out there, like how far technology has come in a relatively short amount of time. I don't remember what station it was on.
Okay.
But I remember not really getting it. And it really wasn't coming in. I remember being in my dorm room, like watching it through the snow on the TV and trying to get it in my dorm room, and I really wasn't getting the best signal. But I sat there and watched it. I sat there and watched most of the games. I definitely watched the clinching game. So it's interesting now how, you know, technology and media and everything, I mean, you know, if you want to watch it, there's no way to miss it. I mean, it's on every, you could watch it on your computers, you can watch it on your tablets, you could probably watch it on your phones, go out to a bar, it's going to be everywhere. So it's, you know, that kind of sticks in my head as far as thinking about me watching the Rangers in the Stanley Cup Finals 20 years ago and getting to watch them now. I like the fact that there's a lot of, you know, interesting storylines in both these series. You know, you're more of a hockey guy than I am. What are your thoughts on the Stanley Cup Finals?
You know, I am a big Rangers fan. I don't watch a lot of the Western Conference games because the Rangers aren't out there that much. It's not a sport where I'll watch any game that's on. That's baseball and football for me. You put a game on, and I'll be happy to watch. Hockey, I'm watching the Rangers and, you know, the Devils on occasion. We get those games here. So I don't know the West. I know that the Rangers are the underdog. I know that they're happy to be the underdog. It's not like 94 where they were heavy favorites. The Knicks were a team that seemed to be a team of destiny and were blocked by Michael Jordan's Bulls back then. They finally got to the finals and lost to the Rockets that year. I may be throwing too much sports out here at you. You know, I can go another way. In 94, if you recall, we had the Rangers win the Stanley Cup. The Knicks were still trying to win a championship, and I was at a bar watching one of those later games in the Knicks series when all of a sudden we got an image of a white Bronco on the LA freeway.
That's right. I do remember that night.
Yeah, that was crazy to interrupt the finals on whatever network it was on, and that one you could get in your dorm room. You know, that was basketball, so that wasn't hockey.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we had the OJ chase, and so that made it even more memorable for me.
What was that, O'Toole's in Spring Valley?
That's where we were.
It's not there anymore, but I do remember that. It was weird for that sort of night. Like, the bar went silent.
Oh, well, we didn't know what was going on at first, and then we had to hear what was happening, and that went on for a long time. That wasn't a chase. They were, they were driving pretty slow and just being followed by the choppers and the cops and the whole thing.
I just remember that chase where, like, he finally got home, and I remember that the reporter said that O.J. went inside, he had a glass of orange juice, and then, and I remember thinking, does anyone else find this funny? Like, O.J. had to get O.J. after, like, this whole chase was over. Anyone else? But we digress. But that's interesting. That is one of, I mean, you're looking at pop culture, right, one of the most iconic moments in the history of pop culture and happening during that 94 sports final season.
Yeah, you know, a lot going on. Sports is a big part of our landscape, and like we said, it does bleed over into pop culture. You know, another part of pop culture that we haven't really addressed on this show, But something I enjoy greatly, I know that Ken does too, and we put the questions out there to you on Facebook as well. Go to our Facebook page at TKRS Presents Pop Life and tell us what you think about stand-up comedy, because I'm a big fan of stand-up, and I have been for a long time. I have my favorites, and we asked you about yours. And, Ken, why don't you tell us some of the things we've heard from our fans?
Well, Ed, our friend Dank was on there, and he told us that he doesn't like Norm MacDonald, but he likes Mitch Hedberg, Carlos Mencia, Jeff Dunham, and Gabriel Iglesias. And Mike Farrar said his least favorite is Jerry Seinfeld. And let's see, there's one more comment. And Mike Farrar also says, as far as his favorites, George Carlin, Louis C.K., Dana Carvey, and Sarah Silverman. So, you know, interesting list right there. You know, it's funny. Let's get into it. Let's dissect these lists a little bit. With Dank right away, it's funny. And I guess I get people who don't like him, but I dig Norm MacDonald. He's a guy that it's – his jokes are good, but it's more his delivery. He's a delivery guy. It's almost like a – Brian Regan.
Right.
It's similar that it's not so much the jokes they're writing, but how they deliver these jokes. It's their personality. If you're quoting one of their routines, you almost have to do it in their voice. So I like Norm MacDonald, but I guess I could see where someone might find him annoying, but I dig him.
Yeah, I do too, but I haven't seen that much stand-up from him. You know, he did his shtick as the host of Weekend Update on SNL, which is getting close to stand-up comedy. I saw a special way back in the 90s that I completely loved. But, you know, it is like you said, it's his character, it's delivery. The place I've seen him the most lately is on some of the Comedy Central roasts. And sometimes he'll just take a gimmick and it's very odd at first, where he's trying to be intentionally horribly unfunny, or he's, you know, picking on a particular person. I loved him when I saw him back in the day. You know, one of those guys who, not one of the all-time greats, but to me someone who had that one great half hour or hour that you watched on TV.
Agreed. And, you know, an interesting debate, because I'm going to tell you right now, I kind of agree with Mike Ferrara, and this is where – you know, Todd and I agree on a lot, but let's get into it right now. I'm right there with Mike Ferrara. I got to say, I think Jerry Seinfeld might be the most overrated stand-up, perhaps in the history of stand-up. I, you know, maybe one or two routines or one or two, like, segments of routines I have found funny. I don't ever really find myself laughing at Jerry Seinfeld. I might smile. I might chuckle, but to really get that, like, belly laugh that you want to see out of a stand-up routine, I don't get that out of Jerry Seinfeld. I really don't. And on top of that, anything I've seen out of him since the show, I feel like he's gotten kind of lazy, and it's almost like he walks out on stage and thinks, I could take a dump and people are going to find me funny. I don't know. I'm right there with you, Mike, on Seinfeld, but Todd, I know you're a bit of a fan, so your thoughts on Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah. You know, when you said on our show that you weren't a fan of his sitcom, I kind of get it. I love the Seinfeld TV show, but I can understand where it might not be everyone's thing, not everyone's cup of tea. I am surprised that there are people who are not fans of his stand-up, especially, you know, people who enjoy stand-up comedy in general, because I find him hilarious. He's, you know, kind of the name in that observational humor thing, and I think he's terrific, you know, and I've seen him more recently. First, I remember he did a special, I believe it was called I'm Telling You for the Last Time, where he did a lot of his old stuff. Then he came out with a special with new jokes, and I enjoyed it just as much. So, you know, big fan of his. Another person I'm a big fan of, and it was mentioned by, and I don't know if it was Mike, I think it was, Louis C.K. I think that he is probably the best stand-up comic working today, and not even by a little bit. I you know, have a number of people I'm fans of who are doing stand-up right now, but I think he is far and away the best. He rarely does a routine, even a part of a routine, a bit, that is not hysterical. And I love him everywhere I see him, whether it's the little bits on his TV show or a full special. I think he's just outstanding.
I would wholeheartedly, as we have our little spat, our little Seinfeld spat, we're back on agreeing with, yeah, I mean, I agree with you on all points. I mean, I don't even think it's debatable right now who the best stand-up comic is out there. And you know, he's slowly but surely moving into that all-time great category. The one thing I do like about him, I mean, there's a lot of stand-ups that, you know, and rightfully so. I mean, you find something that works. You know, guys come up with different routines, but they kind of work in some old stuff. Maybe they have an hour special and they take a 5-minute routine from an older thing and they bring it back in. You know, they you know, Louis C.K. is a guy that he has said in interviews that he throws out everything at right. the end of the year and starts fresh. And he continues to knock it out of the park. I mean, every time you see him, he's hysterical. And, you know, what I have found as I've gotten older and as we continue this conversation, and I do want to get into with you about how stand-up has evolved over the years, but there are less and less stand-up comics that I thoroughly enjoy. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, if I know he's coming out with a new special, I'm going to make sure I watch it because he's just that good. He's really just incredible.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the people that I feel that way about now are dwindling. You know, if one of the all-time greats, one of those classic guys, is going to come up with something new, I'd be there, but we don't see that as often. I'll tell you who I love right now is Dave Attell. He had one of those perfect half hours on Comedy Central, but that wasn't it. I think that he's been great every time I've seen him. Daniel Tosh, who is a Comedy Central staple at this point, but if you only know him from his show, check out his stand-up. He has two incredible hours that have been on TV. Those are two guys that I love. Sarah Silverman is definitely at the top of my list. Jim Gaffigan. So those are some of my favorites right now. And also mentioned by one of our listeners, Mitch Hedberg. Unfortunately, you know, we lost him too soon. He was terrific every time I saw him, and I'm sure that, you know, he still would be if he was around, because that guy was hilarious. Talk about someone who was all about delivery. I mean, his jokes were jokes. And, you know, they were one-off just jokes, but it was the way he told them. And he was just a master at what he did.
True. I'm a big fan of actually Louis Black. I like Louis Black a lot. You know, it's interesting. I like Kevin Hart also. I think Kevin Hart is real good. It's funny with some of these comics because Kevin Hart is one of those guys that I think I find him funnier in interviews than his actual stand-up. And, it, and it's interesting how, you know, when he actually prepares something, you know, it's not as good as when it seems like he's kind of flying off the cuff. I mean, there's an interview with him on, I think it was Leno. I'm trying to remember. I'm almost positive it was Leno. And it was Leno, Justin Timberlake, Kevin Hart, and Kevin Hart was busting on Shaq, and Shaq actually walked on from the back. And I mean, go to YouTube right now. Go and check out, like, Kevin Hart, Justin Timberlake, Shaq. You'll find it. It's hilarious.
I'm sure.
I've watched his stand-up. I find it really funny in parts, but I enjoy him more, like, when I see him in interview segments. But I find it interesting with stand-up comedy, and I'm curious your thoughts, because I've been a proponent, and I've pounded my chest and then just said, you know, that stand-up comedy just isn't as good as it once was. And you know, just comics suck now. There's only a few, like, good ones. And, you know, the list that our fans have brought up, I mean, I like Jeff Dunham too, but just like, oh, it's just not as good. And at one point, I kind of pulled back and just thought, you know, maybe I'm being a little too harsh. And is it the fact that stand-up comedy is bad now, or limited now, or there's limited talent now, or is it just the fact that maybe we got a little spoiled growing up? Maybe the age that we're at, where we grew up, when I first started watching stand-up comedy, I was watching Robin Williams and Billy Crystal and Bill Cosby and, you know, sneaking to see Eddie Murphy.
Right, George Carlin.
I mean, these are guys, like, absolute legends. They're all around at around the same time. And that's how, like, our perception as young, forming minds was these guys, this is what stand-up comedy is. Like, when you go in, like, for us, it wasn't something special. This was, when you watch Bill Cosby himself, that was the norm. Like, a special like that was the norm. Like, now I look back on it and realize it's brilliant. I mean, I've had days, we've all had those days, you have those hangover days where you're like, you're in bed and you're like, I'm not getting out of bed. I got nothing to do, not getting out of bed. And I've had those Saturdays where, you know, we watched a marathon of what's happening. Once I watched all five Planet of the Apes movies. But there was one morning, like 2 years ago, where Bill Cosby himself happened to be on cable just as we woke up. And I was like, you know what? I don't feel like getting up. Let's watch it. And my sides hurt. I was laughing so hard. And for a routine to be able to hold up for that long.
And one that you know and have seen before.
Yeah, and borderline, I could almost like recite the jokes as they're coming. And I'm still cracking up. Right. And so is it that comics, like, am I perhaps judging comics of today too harshly and we just got really spoiled growing up?
No, I don't think so, because when we were much younger, everybody that you saw was probably one of the funniest people on the planet. It took a lot for you to get a full hour special or an album. I was someone who owned comedy albums. I had albums by George Carlin, Eddie Murphy, Billy Crystal. I owned Bill Cosby himself. So that was the age when everybody was just a great. Then I think what happened was we had another era of seeing a lot of great comics, but it was because so many people were getting exposure. The comedy clubs popping up everywhere, more and more people. Comedy Central is a network coming on and exposing you. If you remember the MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour. So a lot more people were getting a shot, whereas now I think that, you know, it's dwindled to the point that less people get their shot, and that just means that there are probably, just by circumstance, people toiling away in clubs in cities all over the place that might be outstanding, might be hilarious, but just haven't gotten that shot. In the 70s and early 80s, it was the funniest people around. And then the 80s into the early 90s, I think you got so many people that you could pick and choose the ones who did you think was funny, and you forget the other ones, but you remember people who had that one great special. People like, you know, if I say John Panette, what do you think, Ken?
You here for an hour. You go home now.
One of those guys, Kevin Meaney. I'll never forget Kevin Meaney doing his We Are the World and impersonating – everybody on the song, you know. There were some of those people that just had that. Oh, Emo Phillips, who was pretty funny for a while.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of great specials. So you could just find the people who cater to your taste. And now, you know, there's just not as much. And so the people who are out there, maybe they're not all your style of comedy. Maybe they're just not as funny as the people back then, and maybe it's because there are those people who haven't been discovered. You know, I wonder how many comics now are doing it because they want to get a sitcom as opposed to being a stand-up. And that's not really the way to go about it. They're two different, you know, creatures altogether.
Yeah, and back in the day, the sitcoms happened by accident.
Right.
You know, they did their routine, and then it's like, hey, we could do something with this, and then it kind of – it evolved into a sitcom. And you're right. You know, I think one of the faults right now with comedy, and I think when you go back, there are comics that can be very funny for 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Right.
It takes, in my humble opinion, it takes something special to do an hour. And sometimes I think that the hour does a disservice for certain stand-up comics, where they'd be really good if they did a much shorter routine. The one guy that always comes to mind when is Chris Rock.
Okay.
And, you know, I think he's got some funny stuff. But after an hour, it's like, oh, here we go. I mean, that's like the whole, like, Chris Rock pattern. Talk softly, raise your voice a little bit, and scream the punchline. And you go through that for an hour, and it's just like, oh, God, like, just please get him off the stage. But if he took his best moments from that hour and put together like a 20-minute routine, it would probably kick ass.
And you may be being a little unfair because you did say a lot of comics are about their delivery. And I think Chris Rock has great material. I know his delivery could be grating. You know, I'm with you there, but I think that his material is really funny. I've loved his hour-long specials, one or two more than others, but there were a couple that I absolutely loved. I mean, there are other people I've seen very recently do a full-on hour, and I thought were hilarious all the way through. I don't know if you've seen any of these, but Patton Oswalt is one. Anthony Jeselnik is another. Those two guys stand out in my mind as, wow, a really solid hour. Very different styles. Jeselnik is God, he's terrible. I mean, he's so offensive, but he does it in a way that you can't take offense. And I enjoyed him start to finish. I don't know if there's anyone else that you feel that way about. Brian Posehn, now that special, it was a few years old already, but he was hilarious start to finish, and he's one of the nerdiest comics. If you don't know who he is, he's that gigantic freak of a guy who's been on, guested on sitcoms, and his stand-up is hilarious. Is there anyone else that you really like now?
You know, there's not a lot, honestly. I mean, it's Louis Black and Louis C.K. are the two guys that I really enjoy. You know what I have found recently, you know, the past few years, you know, a number of guys that I really enjoy and I'm really optimistic, and then the second time I see him, it's like, they hit the home run. Like, Cat Williams was someone that his Pimp Chronicles Part 1, I loved. I laughed almost start to finish. I thought it was incredible. I don't understand why Comedy Central continues to air that routine, because they literally have to bleep out every other word. It's
right.
The dumbest thing on TV to watch that routine on Comedy Central. Because I remember seeing that it was going to air. I'm like, I'll watch it. Maybe they have some special dispensation because it's later on at night. And no, they had to bleep out literally every other word. But I found it hilarious. Then I saw another routine of his, and it didn't do it for me at all. Same with going a few years back, Dane Cook. I thought Dane Cook's Vicious Circle was unbelievable. I thought it was a like borderline brilliant routine. Next time I saw him, like, wow, this guy's just too full of himself, and it's just not funny anymore. So there's a lot of guys like that now that I'll find really funny once, and you know, they just don't do it for me a second time. I do like Gabriel Iglesias. I think he's funny. You know, there aren't really any other guys that really kind of jump out at me right now. Again, the two Louis. Louis C.K. and Louis Black are the guys. And, you know, Louis Black has been around for a while. But those are guys that if I know that they're coming out with a new routine, I'll make sure I see it. I still like the classics. You know, I want to see – I haven't seen it, but I want to see Bill Cosby's new one. I know we kind of differ on Robin Williams. I still love Robin Williams. You know, I'll still watch his routines. So, you know, those are guys. But, you know, it's funny. Robin Williams is another guy that, you know, I saw him. I don't know if you saw a few years back when he was on Inside the Actor's Studio.
I did not.
That was brilliant. And that was almost, again, like I was saying, Kevin Hart is better in interviews. Like, that was funnier than some of the new routines Robin Williams has done. In fact, they made it a two-parter because they didn't want to cut out any of the material was so funny that they're like, we can't, like, make it an hour. We have to make it a two-hour show. So I'll still, any of the older guys that I was a fan of, you know, I'll still watch them if I know they're coming around. But there aren't a lot of new guys that I make sure I'm going to see. And it's funny because it's not like new guys. I mean, I love Brian Regan, but Brian Regan's been around for a while, and I still enjoy him, but it's... He's not from, you know, way back when, but right. I can't call him a new guy.
No, but, you know, he is, because he's still performing at least on a regular basis, he hasn't moved on to something else or retired. Like, you know, Steve Martin was great. Right? He's just done with it. You know, Sam Kinison is not with us anymore. Andy Kaufman, guys like that. Brian Regan is still out there working. The funny thing is, I saw him live. He did new material. He did some old material. The problem was, and he was getting frustrated, but I guess used to it, people in the audience would shout out, you know, do the spelling bee routine. And he would say, okay. And he would start to do it. And then the people in the crowd would start doing his punchlines. So he said, what am I doing here? So, you know, that's why Louis C.K. is great in throwing everything out and starting fresh. Sometimes you want to see those old routines, and some of them are classic. I was surprised about what you said about Cat Williams, only the censorship part of it, because I don't know when it was that you saw him, but Comedy Central has become more and more pushing the envelope as far as what they'll air, especially late at night. They have a new series with, like I said, one of my favorites, Dave Attell. He hosts something new called Comedy Underground with Dave Attell. It's on maybe 1 in the morning on a Saturday, something like that. And it's specifically a showcase for dirty, raunchy, wrong comics. And they will say pretty much anything on that show. More than, you know, there were certain words they would bleep but let go a lot recently. This one will just go all out anything. And, you know, not just the words but the content too. And sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're not, but they've certainly kind of loosened their censorship rules.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, so I mean, maybe it's really recently they're loosening things up. But yeah, it was. I mean, that, you watch that routine. I mean, it's F word, N word, S word. I mean, it's, you know, he really doesn't. I mean, there's, you know, he uses every. I mean, if he needs a noun, a verb, an adverb, he uses the F word. I mean, he just uses that for every form of speech. So, but again, I liked that routine. I just didn't like anything else he did. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. Lots of stuff we hit so far. We hit some news, the sports, talking stand-up comedy. I'd love to know what you guys think. We're going to go out to the phones right now because we got Mike on the line. Mike, how you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. I love your show. This is a great topic, stand-up comedy. Like, I guess we're all around the same age. I grew up with it. So you were saying, Ken, you were saying, we were talking about Louis C.K. I think he is the funniest guy right now. I think his expressions are great. I think the fact that we're in a dark age of comedy, so you never know what he's going to say. He's very dark. So with that being said, definitely... He's one of my favorites right now.
I totally agree with you. I mean, there are times. I mean, some of his routines I feel like I have to watch again because I'm laughing so hard. I miss the joke. He goes on after, and it's just his delivery. He's original. I mean, there was one routine he did where he talked about how he talked about driving, and the whole thing was. I am the worst possible version of myself
right.
When I am handling the most dangerous instrument I can handle. And just the way he delivered it, I mean, it rang true because some of the road rage stuff I saw in myself. And so he has that way of kind of ringing true. He's got this everyman quality. He's got an interesting delivery, and his take on life is just... very intriguing, and it's kind of thought-provoking and funny at the same time. I agree with you. And like Todd said, I think it's a wide gap. I think right now there's Louis C.K., and whoever you want to name is second place right now is a long way off of Louis C.K.
You know what else is great? I've seen him do a half hour about his family and his kids. I've seen him do a half hour of poop and fart jokes. I've seen him do that observational stuff, like you said, about driving, you know, about people. Oh God, he had this hilarious thing about, actually, it was about the use of the word hilarious and the way that people overuse it. So, you know, shame on me for saying it. But, you know, he can really just swing back and forth, whether it's within the same routine or, you know, different specials. But he's been all over the place, and he really knocks it out of the park every time.
Yeah, Louis C.K., one of my favorites is the stand-up that he did on HBO called Shameless. That DVD, I have it, and on the DVD it has like a half an hour when he was younger. He did an HBO special, and he was right on. But the stuff that he talked about in Shameless was just the best stuff, the best stuff, you know. You couldn't top that. And then of course he had Hilarious and Chewed Up, and also he had that show Lucky Louie, and I like Lucky Louie. I thought that show was great. I thought the comedians on that show was great. You know, I thought the cast was great, but again, you know, HBO being what it was, they didn't like it. And you know, and now he has his own show, which if you guys are on my Facebook, I put his stuff up all the time. I watch Louis all the time. He's on FX now. If you guys haven't seen the show or your fans haven't seen the show, another great show. It's in season four. And he talks, you know, his topics are really about his kids and about his meetings and his, you know, his family and brother. And it's just a great show. And his, you know, his lust for life and how he is. You know, he's just a great comedian.
Mike,
me.
I couldn't agree more. That show is one of the best shows on TV, and it's so hard to categorize because it's funny at times, it's poignant at times. You don't even know what you're looking at sometimes. He's got a half hour that's just kind of surreal at times, like that episode.
Yeah,
where
you don't know, right? Sorry, go ahead, Tom.
No, the one where he was entertaining the troops was very odd. You know, he had dark stuff with girlfriends last season. One of the funniest things I've seen lately was the opening scene of this new season where he was sleeping and the garbage truck was outside. If you know what I'm talking about,
funny.
If you haven't, check it out because that was just outstanding. Yeah, one of the best guys around, and the show is great too.
That's the thing, though, that kills me about his show. I love his show as well. However, there are times where, like, I'll come home and it's like, you know what? Like, what's on the DVR? And let's just watch something lighthearted and funny. And we'll make the mistake of putting on Louis, and, you know, it happens to be one of those dark episodes where we're like, yeah, okay, now I'm more depressed than I was before I started watching. But you're right. Like,
I agree.
You know what I call that show? I mean, I guess because it's a half hour and it's a stand-up comic, I mean, people would call it a comedy, but it's so much more than that.
Right.
No, it's drama. That's the thing. Like when his kid went missing, I mean, you know, off the train. I mean, I got nervous. I got scared. It's like, and I'm like, this is not, you know, this is, you know, this is drama stuff. One of the funniest things I found, which was, you know, him and Robert Kelly. Robert Kelly is another good comedian. I like Robert Kelly. Him and Robert Kelly doing the Bang Bang. It's just the funniest thing how they go out to another restaurant and they go to another restaurant and just the funniest things like that. And he's like, don't tell the waitress what we're doing out here. Don't. And it's just like, you know, I understand what you're saying, though, Ken. You know, sometimes you don't know whether it's funny. Some things are just funny. On that note,
so I'm curious. Like, I mean, we're all like, it's all of a sudden it's a Louis C.K. love fest, and we all are big fans. But I'm curious, like, what are some other comics you dig, Mike?
Okay, I'll tell you. When I was a little boy, I used to sneak down and I used to watch Eddie Murphy Raw, and my dad, when I told my dad this later, he goes, How do you think? He goes, you got to sneak down. He goes, I was such a light sleeper. I knew you were what you were watching. He goes, and I was laughing at it. Like you said, Todd, about the tapes. My dad had a Red Fox tape. I listened to Red Fox because I used to watch Sanford and Son. And Red Fox was so dirty and racist, but he was funny. And, you know, I got to see George Carlin. George Carlin was my favorite when I was a teenager, and I got to see him twice, and his stand-up obviously was just great. And you were talking about Bill Cosby. Love Bill Cosby. Think he's really funny. I love his stuff about his wife when he came home and his let the beatings begin and all this stuff. And then look what happened. It went on to the Cosby Show. So there are so many great comedians. Dana Carvey. Dana Carvey's special. The just the funniest things, his impressions of all the presidents and John Travolta, it could be the lemon. It's just the funniest stuff. It's just the funniest stuff. You know, squatting monkeys, tell no lies. It's like who thinks these things? Him doing Annie Rooney. Hi, I'm Annie Rooney, and this is Spunker. It's like, you know, it's like the best stuff. So those are my comedians.
I saw Dana Carvey in Vegas, I don't know, 15 years ago or something. I happened to be sitting in the front, and he talked to me, one of his, you know, people he picked out in the audience. So I was lucky
awesome.
In that. He did a whole thing on my lack of a New York accent, which I don't know if any of you out there would agree or disagree. but he was hilarious, and he did it all from his own sketch show to SNL, obviously, and then stand-up. Yeah, he was one of my favorites, and he was one that no matter when I tuned in, he didn't fail to make me laugh.
Yeah, a guy who somehow, you know, kind of, you know, I guess never found his niche or kind of felt. I always enjoyed him, too. I always loved Dana Carvey's stand-up, and like you were saying, Mike, I loved all the impressions. And, you know, I thought Dana Carvey was one of those guys that was, he was so good because he didn't really do straightforward impressions. It was like he did impressions that were through the Dana Carvey filter, and they were so good. Like, people weren't doing Bush impressions. People right. were doing impressions of Dana Carvey doing Bush.
Yeah, you don't remember what Ross Perot sounds like.
No,
you just don't.
You remember what Dana Carvey sounded like doing Ross Perot, and that's what I loved about Dana Carvey's impressions. Like, they weren't those dead-on impressions. It wasn't like going back to, like, Rich Little, who really tried to nail the person to a T. Dana Carvey kind of took some nuances and was true to the person, but kind of gave it his own spin. And I always really enjoyed what he was able to do with that. But a guy that never really totally found his niche coming out of Saturday Night Live.
No, I think Can I finish, Larry?
Ross Perot. Can I finish, Larry? I used to love when that special that he did in like 95 was just the funniest thing of him going on a rant. And then he's like, I like when he said he stayed over at the White House, and he's like, he met George Bush, and George Bush said, well, would you like to do me? I hear you do a great me. And he says, oh, yeah, I'll order a Moo Choo chicken. It's so fun.
You know, and he didn't even get to do everybody. Like, he did a great Bill Clinton, but, you know, someone else had staked his claim, and he was obviously doing a rival in Bush. But he could really do impressions of just about anybody in stand-up. I saw him do people that you didn't even see in his sketch comedy. Terrific. Great comedian.
Yeah, you know, there's a show. I don't know if you got, again, you guys should check this out. Maybe you've seen it. It's called Inside Comedy with David Steinberg. It's on Showtime, and he picks apart all the comedians. Like, he'll have Louis C.K. with Bob Newhart, and they'll talk about, you know, their beginnings, and they'll talk about some of the things and why you got into it. And it's just interesting to watch. To watch some of these comedians and stuff. Hey, what do you guys think about Richard Klein?
Robert Klein. We're talking Robert
Klein. I mean, not Richard Klein. I'm thinking about Richard Lewis. Robert Klein. What do you guys think about Robert Klein?
He's great. I mean, he's a classic. He's, you know, been around for a long time, but he's still funny. I haven't seen him do a full-on comedy, you know, hour, half hour. I've seen him perform on talk shows, and I still think he's great.
Yeah, HBO plays a lot of his old HBO plays some of his stuff. That's how I seen him.
Well, Mike, thanks for the call. Thanks for the continued support. And who knows what
Listen,
area?
I'm inviting all my friends to like you guys. I'm telling everybody to tune into your show like I always do. You know me, Ken. Once I get on board with the show that I like and I'm comfortable with it, you know, and this is a great topic for me because I love the thing. Oh, before you let me go, just one on a note, Ambie Davis, loved the Brady Bunch growing up like you guys, loved Ambie Davis, thought she did a great job as Alice, thought her comedy was on par, and unfortunately now she's with Sam the Butcher. So.
All right. Thanks, Mike. And again, thanks for getting the word out there, and you know, hopefully we'll hit a topic you can sink your teeth into next month. We'll talk
Man,
to you.
Man, I love it. I can't wait. I already did a movie review for you guys. I love it. TV shows, comedy, movies, you name it. That's my life.
Thanks so much. We really appreciate the support. Thanks.
Thanks. We'll
thank you, Todd. Thank you. You guys are very insightful, and just keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Cool. Thank you. Appreciate it. Take it easy, man.
All right. No problem. Thank you.
There you go. You know, it's funny because, like, as we're talking about Dana Carvey, and it was interesting hitting Dana Carvey. I mean, I just remember thinking, like, as his Bush impression evolved, it was like, right. You know, it started with, like, not going to do it. Not gonna do it. And by the end, it was not gonna die. Not gonna die. It was like there was barely any consonants in that phrase.
No, he was. Yeah, he did such caricatures of the people that he impersonated. You know, one of the great ones from, of course, one of my favorite shows, Saturday Night Live. You know, now, and it's amazing to me. We talked about how we had a golden age. We had the proliferation of comics. Now we're in an age where we don't know if we really have as many great ones or they're just undiscovered. Speaking of discovering comic talent, and I can't believe that this TV show is back again after God knows how many years, and it keeps going off for 3-4 years and coming back. Last Comic Standing is back on NBC this summer. And, you know, as you can tell from the title, as you may know from watching it, it's a search for a stand-up comedian. Winner gets, you know, a special, a development deal with NBC. And I always enjoyed it because I love stand-up comedy. And you find a lot of great comics. They're doing 2 to 5 minutes, so you really can't go too wrong. They're gone if you don't like them. So I've been watching a lot of that this summer. We have a couple of episodes already, and my wife and I really enjoy it.
I got to get on that show. I can be funny for 2 to 5 minutes.
You definitely can. You know, I can do it too.
Two to five is good.
You need a lot of 2 to 5s to get to the end.
It's a good point. 347-838-9815. What do you guys want to talk about? We're hitting a lot of stuff tonight. We got Dank on the line. Dank, what's going on tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing tonight?
Nice doing. All right, talking a lot of stand-up comedy. What do you got for us?
A couple of topics. Comedy and being my version of a movie review that I saw, which really let me down. But as far as stand-up comedy, I've always been a big fan, especially of like the older ones. Having not been raised in the States, stand-up comedy is not really big in Europe. So when I moved here and I was introduced to it, I had a lot of catching up to do, especially when it came to the ones like Pryor, George Carlin, Cosby, Eddie Murphy. But I got into it, and like I have to say, like other than like the kind of comedy, it really comes down like how it's portrayed. Like Norm Macdonald, don't find him funny. I don't know why, and maybe it's like you said, like the way that he delivers his jokes, maybe. If somebody else did the same jokes, I would find it more funny. But I don't know. I just find him, like, annoying. Him, Andy Dick. I don't know if he ever did stand-up, but Martin Short's another one that I don't find funny. But then, you know, you get Mitch Hedberg. I personally like Chris Rock, Cat Williams. I think that, for me, the stand-up is a lot of what, like, I like the comedian if he's talking, like, about stuff that I'm going through. Like, you know, if I'm going through a divorce and I'm watching a stand-up with Chris Rock and he's talking about divorce, like, I'm going to find him extremely funny. Whereas if he's talking about, you know, the great things about marriage, I'm probably not going to find it as funny. So I think it's also, like, what you're going through and where you are in life is who you find funny at that time and who you don't. Maybe it's just me, I don't know. But stand-up comedy just seems like, yeah, like in the 80s and 90s, there were a lot of stand-up comedians that were doing it because they were doing it because it was something that they loved doing. And because they were so good at it, they got their own shows, they got their own sitcoms and whatnot. And unfortunately, I think that, like you touched base before, a lot of up-and-coming comedians, you know, they just become stand-up as a, like a stepping stone to try to get their own sitcom, which to me kind of kills the art of stand-up comedy, because it's not. It's easy to do comedy when you're, like, bouncing back and forth and you got somebody else in the room, but when it's just you up there, it's twice as hard. So a lot of, like, new stand-up comedians, I just don't find funny. I watched the Comedy Central roasts, and I don't know if you really can consider that stand-up comedy, but I really enjoy those. Not just because they're tearing each other apart, but it's because it's a lot of comedians that I like. And then you get people like Sarah Silverman. I can't even think of other comedians nowadays. They go up there, and I don't find them funny. I don't know. But, like, what do you guys think? Do you think that, like, what you're going through in life can affect who you find funny at that time?
Without question. I think that's what makes – that separates the greats from the pretty goods. The more accessible you make your routine, to me, the better you are. I totally agree with you. You know, a lot of female stand-up comics, they piss and moan about pimping and men, and a lot of routines are centered around that sort of stuff. And yeah, I'm not going to find that funny. I mean, there's very few stand-up comics, female, that I actually enjoy. Ellen DeGeneres is one of them, and I have very little in common with Ellen DeGeneres.
Very little.
But she says things that are very accessible to a large number of individuals. I find her very funny. I think the greats are the ones that figure out a way to make their comedy accessible to almost anything you might be going through. And other comics become very centric. So, you know, whereas I might get into a 40-something stand-up comic that references how great the 80s were, I could see why a 20-something wouldn't find that guy funny. The greats are the ones that are really able to hit everything. And that's why I think Louis C.K. is brilliant.
Right.
Because Louis C.K. has a way of, even if he's talking about something that you're not going through, he still finds a way to give it a relevance in your life. And he makes everything accessible to a vast majority of people. And that's where I think you find that difference. I think it's an excellent point, Dank. The greats are the ones that give you a broad frame of reference.
And Ken, you have a good point, because you're right. If a female stand-up is going to do that point of view that it's all about women or women versus men, we may not relate to it. Male stand-ups are not generally talking about being men, and that's what their routine is about. However, you mentioned Ellen, who I love, and she got her show based on her stand-up. There's someone else who did get a TV show based on his stand-up, and his stand-up was about being a man, and that's Tim Allen. And he was very funny, but he had that very male-centric, you know, thing, and it was about being a real man. But back in the day, Paul Reiser, someone else I loved, who got a show, you know, from his stand-up, but he was very accessible to everybody, every man kind of thing. Tim Allen, he did his specific point of view. It may not have appealed to as wide an audience, but it certainly appealed to me. Any other comedian, Dank, that, you know, that really resonate with you?
One that I've always liked, and, like, unfortunately he got his show canceled, which I thought was kind of like rushing to judgment, is Robin Williams. And I don't know what your take is on him, but I watched several of his stand-ups, and one of my favorite ones was the HBO special Live on Broadway. And I have it on DVD, and to this day, I know every punchline. I know the series of jokes that are coming, and I'm still laughing. And every time that he's on either a talk show or Leno or anything like that, I'll stay up, or I'll either record it or I'll stay up and watch it, because there's just certain comedians that have it just seems they have a bottomless pit of material and that they could do stand-up every single minute of their life and still not be able to do everything that they want. And Robin Williams is one of those. Dana Carvey, I know you touched base on him. He did an HBO special back in 95, and I know it was 95 because he was making fun of the O.J. Simpson trial. That's another one where I know every punchline. I've seen the show God knows how many times. I watch it on YouTube, and it still makes me laugh. It's like it doesn't matter what mood I'm in. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It just brightens my day. And it's comedians like that which I wish, you know, would go back to the roots of doing stand-up because it just, you know, they're funny. They're you know, just the way that they are. They make people laugh, and it generally seems like they enjoy what they do. They enjoy the fact that they know they make people laugh. And to me, watching a comedian that has that aspect on his job versus a comedian that's just delivering the punchlines because it's a paycheck makes me not just more of a fan, but makes it a whole lot more enjoyable for me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, you know, again, going back to, I think, yesteryear, you know, a lot. You know, I think, Todd, you kind of said it. There's a lot of comics now that have the idea of, like, you know, get out there, get in the club, do stand-up, get an agent, get a sitcom.
Right.
Whereas you have, like, going back to, like, Robin Williams. Like, Robin Williams got into a sitcom by accident. You know, he was a comic. Trade, and you know, granted, he wanted to make more money. I mean, that's it. So he got the sitcom, but yeah, I think you had some guys that were more of a comic by trade, where instead of being a actor or something, just thought comedy is going to be my vehicle in.
Right. You know, the suit said with Robin Williams, we've got to get people to see this person as much as possible because he was that funny. I agree with something you said, Dank, which is that he seems to be doing stand-up every waking moment, which is kind of why I've gotten turned off to him. I thought it was great, but I've grown tired of Robin Williams just in general. I loved him in the 70s and 80s, and I just kind of my interest petered out. But when you look at that classic stuff, he was one of the funniest people you'll ever see.
I don't know if you've seen the live on Broadway, but if you haven't seen it, give him one more chance or just take the time to watch it. It may or may not change your opinion on him, but it's worth the hour and 20 minutes.
Very good, thank you. I'm there with you. I love Robin Williams, and I think I saw that routine. I mean, I go back, one of my favorites is Robin Williams live at the Met from... It was like early 80s,
yep.
I still love Robin Williams. I love everything he does. And I agree with you. I think show got the quick hook. They should have at least given it a second season to let it evolve. Thanks for giving us a call, Dank. And, you know, talk to you next month. Who knows what pop culture subject we'll be hitting next month. But thanks for the support.
All right, guys. Talk to you guys later.
Later.
Take care.
Bye. And we got a new caller on the line, so we'll stick with the phones. We got a 956 number on there. Caller, are you there?
Hi, am I on the air?
You are on the air. What's your name?
Oh, hey, this is David Loco Romero. I was calling in from Texas.
Oh, hey, thanks a lot for what you got for us tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm listening to the show, and you guys are talking about stand-up. I'm a big fan of stand-up. I try to do my own stand-up, too. But, yeah, you guys are talking about, like, the history of stand-up. And I agree. There's not too many good comedians out there nowadays. But, you're talking about Louis C.K., and he's, like, one of the best right now. Another guy that's really good is, I forgot that Arab guy. What's his name? Aziz Ansari. That guy's really funny. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yeah, he is hilarious. Oh, great.
Yeah, he's really good.
By him. Aziz Ansari,
I heard Sarah Silverman. She has good stand-up as well. I don't know if you answer her.
Yeah, she's very good. I'm curious, like, what sort of stuff do you do? What's your routine kind of like?
Oh, I do different characters, and I do, you know, I talk about pop culture a lot. Sometimes, I mean, I'm Latino, so I talk about that as well sometimes. But my main show is, you know, pop culture, what's going on, and I do different characters on show, you know. So
right up around.
That's what I do. Yeah.
Yeah, you do around the clubs in Texas?
Yeah, I go around, you know, I do my thing here and there. Open mic, stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a few years. But I got a show here on Block Talk Radio. It's called the High Man Local Project. I do it with my cousin. And it's kind of like a comedy show, kind of like this. We talk about, you know, pop culture, comedy. We also have, like, comedy sketches and things like that. So, yeah, it's kind of similar to your show, but a little different.
Who are some of your influences? Talking to an actual stand-up now, who are some of your comic influences?
Well, I grew up watching, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, you know, big fan of his. Dave Chappelle, that guy's really good.
Yeah.
Andrew Dice Clay, that guy's a legend, so everybody has to listen to him. He's really good.
Yep.
And, of course, Richard Pryor, of course. I mean, he's like a legend, too. George Lopez as well. I would say those are some of my people I grew up watching and looked up to.
That's awesome, man. You know, before I let you go, why don't you, if there are other people out there in Texas that are listening to us, what open mic nights are you doing in the future? Why don't you promote some of your stuff?
I've got any stand-up going on right now, but I'm doing my radio show here on Block Talk Radio, so you guys can check that out, the High Man Local Project, Sunday nights here on Block Talk Radio. So you guys can look out for that.
If you want to head to our Facebook page and just let our fans know what your show is and where they can find it, that would be great.
Okay, yeah, well, you have the link up there?
Yeah, just look up TKRS Presents Pop Life on Facebook.
All right, sounds good. I'll do that.
What's the link? Yeah, we'll help each other out. Thanks a lot for the call, and definitely give us a call in the future.
I will. I'll bring my cousin next time. My cousin, Jaime, he's a trip. I think you guys will like him.
All right, great.
Definitely, sounds good. Thanks for the call.
All right, thank you, guys.
That's cool, man. In Texas.
Outstanding.
We've reached out to Texas. Wow, we're on our way. That was kind of cool. So an actual, we're talking stand-up comedy, and we had an actual stand-up comic give us a call, some influence. And some guys we actually forgot, you know, Dice, a guy that he mentioned as an influence, definitely a legend going back. So, it's pretty amazing. I mean, the tapestry of the world of stand-up comedy and going back, it's pretty interesting. But I don't think there's really any debating that, you know, we got pretty lucky. The guys that we grew up with, 70s, late 70s, into the 80s, I defy, like, any era of comedy to compare to the all-star team you can put out with from that era.
And you know what else? The proliferation of cable, the fact that you could actually see them and not just the clean stuff on The Tonight Show, but see some of these guys do their real hardcore stuff, not just sneaking down, listening to, you know, tapes or records, depending on how old you are, but actually getting to see these guys more often. So that was a really, you know, positive thing for us when we were growing up.
Yeah, you hit some before, and I'd like to get, we got about 15 minutes left, and I'd like to switch gears briefly, but you did hit that, you know, last comic standing coming back.
Right.
We're entering that season of summer shows, and lots of new shows slated to come out. Any new shows coming out for the summer that you're ready, you're willing to go out there and give it a chance?
You know, there is one that I'm really looking forward to, and I remember hearing about this a few years ago, and I didn't realize until I researched it why it was familiar to me a while ago if it was a new show. The show is called Penn & Teller Fool Us, and it turns out that they did this show in England 3 or 4 years ago. It's coming over to the U.S. now, debuting this summer. The idea is that if you can perform a magic trick for Penn and Teller and they can't figure out on their first guess how you did it, you get to open for Penn and Teller. I love that concept. I can't wait to see that show. You know, if you're a fan of magic, we can hit, you know, yet another pop culture area there. But that sounds like a really funny idea, a great thing, and I'm a big fan of Penn and Teller. The other one is a sitcom going to premiere on FX called Married with some actors that I really like, Matt Faxon, Judy Greer, Jenny Slate, and it looks pretty funny, a family-based thing. You know, a married couple, obviously, but that looks pretty funny. Those are two new shows that I'm looking forward to.
It's funny because I've gotten to the point, you know, there's certain times in life, I guess, you just grow confidence in something. And I've grown confident in FX. And that's a show that I wouldn't necessarily give a shot to, but it's FX.
Right.
So I'm optimistic that they'll give us something good. Another show that, again, sounds terrible, but it's on, but it's on FX, so I will give it a shot. Kelsey Grammer and Martin Lawrence playing lawyers that wind up working together. I don't know if there's anything that could sound more terrible than those two.
I'm starting to question your methods here, Ken.
But I honestly, I just keep thinking, like, it's FX. FX, like, puts on good stuff. I mean, should I be optimistic and give it a shot? So I may actually give that a shot, even though, yeah, it sounds terrible. The other show, have you seen the coming attractions for the show Leftovers?
No, what's that
The
about?
Leftovers. It's a show now. The trailers are intriguing. And then I saw that it's from Lost co-creator Damon Lindelof.
Right.
Lindelof. And as soon as I heard that it was tied to Lost, I'm like, I can't watch this show because it's gonna kill me. But the trailers are very intriguing. It's basically, I think it's like 2% or 3% of the world's population disappears, just vanishes one day. And it's about the people that are left to figure out what the hell happened. And it's weird. Like, there's a scene in the trailer where a mother is putting her baby in a car seat.
Oh,
and
I
the
saw
baby's
that.
Crying. And then, and then she turns around. It's like, and she goes in the street, and the baby's gone. And then it's all about, like, how everyone just, you know, everyone's, like, losing their minds because they're trying to figure out where exactly everyone went. So that you know, again, it's like part of me is like Lost. It's tied to Lost. I can't do this to myself again. But I got to admit, I found the trailer pretty intriguing. The other show, and this is like more cast-wise, I loved My Name is Earl.
Me too.
And Jamie Presley surprised me at how good she was at comedy. So she's coming back on TV with Jennifer Falls. I'm intrigued by what this show could be.
Jennifer Falls. Now, I'm not familiar, you know, but then again, I wasn't familiar with the last one until you did your impression of the baby crying. And then I said, oh, that's right, I remember. So what's this show about?
Jamie Presley plays a character, Jennifer.
Right.
Jennifer Falls. She's some corporate-type person that loses everything and she has to go to bartending or she owns a restaurant, something like that. She's got to work at a bar, and Ethan Suplee from My Name is Earl is also in the show. So it's one of those things, like I said, I'm floundering through trying to give you the plot. The plot wasn't important to me. When I saw that Jamie Presley and Ethan Suplee were going to be in it,
right,
I thought I'd give that show a chance as well. But you know, it's interesting, you know, if I wind up having conflicts or wind up having not enough room on the DVR, these shows may wind up getting the chop pretty quickly. One show that's coming out that I have to at least watch one episode of, Girl Meets World.
Oh, right, of course. The decades later spinoff, yes. I personally did not watch Boy Meets World. I might give this one a shot.
For shame.
Oh, I know. It just wasn't the right time. This might have been out when I was in college, maybe when I was in a dorm and just didn't have cable. I had like two networks. I don't know if that was the issue, but yeah.
Topanga.
I still knew of Topanga, of course.
Topanga.
Yeah. And then what do we have? The daughter of the two leads, right, Ken, to get a hold
yeah.
of yourself. It's the daughter.
Yeah, somehow that guy, that little curly-haired freak.
Got Topanga.
And they had a little girl. And the weird thing is, have you seen the trailer?
Yeah.
Haven't changed. That's the creepy thing. Like, right. They still look like they should be in high school, and they have a little girl, which is the weird thing. But the show, it's no show. It looks awful. I mean, let's be honest. But it's the Boy Meets World spinoff. I have to give it a chance.
Well, it's one of those things that I might give a chance with my kids who have seen, you know, Boy Meets World, maybe even more than I have at this point. Just like there's another new show that premiered a few weeks ago called Riot. Steve Carell brought this over from overseas somewhere, I think Australia. And it's one of those kind of improv-y things. They do a couple of segments each show where they're on a stage slanted at 20-something degrees and they have to do their improv comedy. And the kids love it. I wasn't as thrilled as they were. I'm a fan of improv, but this one just didn't do it for me. But that's one that's that was on our summer list. You know, I feel like summer comes around, I should be making more space on my DVR, and it's still filling up, which is a problem. And I've got returning shows that I still need to, you know, set my DVR for. Of course, Louis is back, and we haven't said enough about Louis tonight. Louis C.K.'s show is back. Marin with Mark Maron, another interesting stand-up, is a show I really enjoy. And one that's coming back in, I think, a month or so, Drunk History on Comedy Central. And if you haven't seen this show, my God, it's the best history lesson you'll ever get. On Drunk History, you start out with a narrator who gets very drunk and then tries to tell you a story from history. And if that wasn't amusing enough, then they get famous actors and comedians to act out what the narrator is saying, but exactly as he says it. So they have to lip sync to the way he slurs and stumbles over his words. And yet, you still learn something. So I think it's the best of all worlds.
Sounds intriguing. I've watched none of those shows.
Drunk History coming back, you've got to check out this summer on Comedy Central.
Another show that's returning that I'm looking forward to is, and I'm sitting there like, and I'm the sex show.
Yeah, Masters of Sex.
Master Sex. I was just thinking sex.
Of course, who
is? Was because our girl's on that show. That good show. It's funny. That was a show that I really enjoyed the first season. I can't say it was like a show that I loved, but I really enjoyed it, and I'm really curious to see how these characters evolve in the second season. So it's definitely a show I'm looking forward to in season two.
That one took me a few episodes to get into, but I really did love it by the end of the first season. And we left on a giant cliffhanger. So, you know, if they're rerunning those shows and you want to catch up, it turned out, in my opinion, to be a terrific show last summer. And I think it was last summer, but in any event, it's a summer show this year. And it's one that I'm looking forward to. Another one of the big network, maybe the biggest audience for any network summer show last year was Under the Dome, and that's coming back shortly. Did you watch that one, Ken?
No, that was another lost scarring. That was a show that just reminded me too much of something weird's going to happen, and then it's going to creatively blue ball me, and I'm not going to be able to stick with it. So I didn't take the chance.
All right, 2 points, Ken. One, you've got to get over the Lost thing.
I really kind of do.
But two, you kind of were right about Under the Dome. So, you know, it may not be just the creators of Lost, but it may be the style of show. They just kept throwing more and more supernatural elements in. But I did stick with it. I enjoyed it. And I'm very curious to see where this one goes. So that's coming back towards the end of June. Anything else that's catching your fancy?
You know, a show that kind of flew under the radar a bit and had a really great cast, and it's coming back this summer, and really, really looking forward to it, Ray Donovan. Great show. Really loved the first season. I heard it was getting good reviews. I still felt like it kind of flew under the radar a bit. It was one of those shows that, you ever watch these shows where, like, you want to go out and, like, you want it to be water cooler talk, and it just isn't?
Right.
And that's what Ray Donovan was for me. Like, I'd watch it, it's like, oh, this is an awesome show. And then I would desperately be trying to find people to talk to about it, and nobody I knew actually watched the show. But I just think it's an incredible show, an incredible cast. You know, Elise Schreiber, John Voight, you know, and then some great character actors, Stephen Bauer in it. And just everyone plays their part well. The characters are well written. All the characters are flawed, which is great. James Woods was on last season. It's just a show I really, like, really enjoyed. And curious to see where these characters are going to go in season two, but that's going to be starting in July. So as far as returning shows, I'm big right now on the Showtime shows, the Master of Sex and Ray Donovan. Looking forward to those two shows coming back. But I don't think you did. You didn't watch Ray Donovan, right?
No, I didn't. I mean, you've told me about it before. It sounds interesting. I didn't, and I know what you're talking about, that frustration over a show that you want to talk to people about, and yet you don't know anyone who watches it. And first of all, you feel like everybody's losing out. And second of all, you just have stuff. You maybe have questions, maybe just have great, oh, my God, did you see this? And you lose out. You know, I have a show that's like that, and it's a very different type of show. But I feel the same way a lot of the time. I try to get my oldest son to watch it sometimes, and it's a little bit much. We've been watching Cosmos, and he's enjoying that, the miniseries on Fox. What the show I'm referring to now is Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman. And it's on the Science Channel. It delves into very interesting topics every week. And when the show is over, I am just dying to have a deep conversation about these subjects. And there's no one I can talk to about it because I don't know anybody who watches the show. Morgan Freeman is the host, the narrator, and he actually is a creator. He comes up with the topics that they discuss, and they dissect everything from, you know, are there other universes – to is there a God? You know, when will humans die out? Are animals intelligent? I mean, all kinds of really interesting topics, and he'll explore them from a lot of different angles. And then, you know, I'm stuck pondering in my own skull because I can't talk about it with anybody.
So your wife is going to find you in the fetal position, like somewhere, like not being able to talk about, is there a God? Isn't there a God? But no, I don't watch that show. Sorry, we can't talk.
I'll have to find somebody else.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the summer season looks like it's you know, going to be an interesting season. Like I said, you know, like when we talked about our, you know, coming into new season of TV, you know, which shows get the axe. You know, there's definitely a couple. Like I said, I think Girl Meets World. I'll probably watch one or two episodes and then realize, you know, the nostalgic thing is done and it's just not a good show. You know, so some shows will probably quickly get the axe, but you're right. You know, you're thinking, all right, finally get the DVR cleared. And now there's new stuff to pile on. There's just so much TV and it with TV. And as we hit on sports and there's too much to watch.
Yeah. You know, I can't even consider, DVRing a game anymore, you know, a Rangers game or well, the Knicks are out, but whether it's, well, one of the NBA or NHL finals games, I have to wonder if I'll get the end of it in or my DVR will just cut it off and say, sorry, all full, you know, try again next time, because we're really pushing it. And I did not think that would be the case. Sports is one of the few things, though, I watch live for the most part. I mean, I don't watch live TV unless it's a weather report or sports. You know, it's kind of stupid to DVR the weather report and watch it a few weeks later, and live sports.
Hey, man, you know, it's interesting that over the past few years, I think we're talking probably, you know, less than 10, maybe 5, 6, 7 years, like scripted TV has made, like, such an incredible comeback. There was the influx of reality TV, and I know there's a lot of reality TV on basic cable. I mean, it seems like, you know, every basic cable network has about 16 shows about picking through trash and trying to sell it.
Right.
But other than that, you know, scripted TV back over the past 5, 6, 7 years. And it's just, you know, I have found for myself, I watch a lot less sports. I really only watch sports now if I'm out. If I'm out at a bar, I'll watch the sports that are on in the bar. But it's rare that I actually sit down and watch a game now.
It's a good time of day for me to watch sports because the kids are getting ready for bed. They're winding down. I can't watch a lot of the stuff that I'd like to, but they love sports. I love sports. So that's when we get in our live TV and we watch our games.
Thank you guys for supporting us and calling us. We are Pop Life, and we'll be back the first Tuesday of next month. You know what? Head on over to the Facebook page, TKRS Presents Pop Life. You got some subjects you want us to dissect, by all means, post them over there on the Facebook. We're good show tonight, Todd.
Outstanding show, Ken. It was great doing with you again. Can't wait till next month.
I'm Ken for Todd. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next month. Good night, everybody.